Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll start at verse number 4 of the 2 Peter 2nd chapter. Verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Let us pray. Father, I certainly do thank you again for the Bible, the Word of God. I thank you what you've done here in the last 3 days of Bible school. God, thank you for the souls that's been saved, for the multitudes of things that you've done in people's hearts. And once again tonight, we need your help, we need your power, we need your wisdom. And Father, I just ask you please to help this preacher as he preaches. Help our folk to listen, Lord, to your word, and help us all to take it and apply it and use it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. 2 Peter, if you remember, we talked about is a book that's talking about the internal problems and troubles that a church is facing. And the main problem that he deals with, he started dealing with it in chapter 2 of 2 Peter. He talked about the false teachers that would be amongst them. And he also then talks about the judgment that's going to come upon folk like them. And he gives us some examples, as if we have time, we'll look into those tonight. Examples of where God did judge those who did wrong. A very serious judgment. He talked about the judgment of the angels, talked about the judges of Noah, and talked about the judgment in Lot's days. So we'll try to get to those. But in the first three verses, he talks about the false prophets, which was among the people, talking about the Old Testament people. We dealt with that last week. And then, though, he also says that the false teachers, which are among you. There again, he's talking about the teachers that rise up in Christianity today, certainly in the day that this was written, but that certainly was not only what he was talking about. He's talking in our day. False teachings that creep in into churches and cause all kinds of havoc. And then he said, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies and destructive heresies. Anytime we bring in teachings contrary to the Word of God, they're destructive. They're wrong and destructive. And he even says, even denying, it's like, you know, they've taught a lot of things that are wrong, but here they even would deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. He talks about the terrible, how horrible it is, even in denying the Lord Jesus Christ, who came all the way from heaven and died on the cross for our sins, who bought our salvation for us. What a horrible thing to deny him. Amen. And he said it's going to bring swift destruction upon them. Then in verse 2 he says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, again, or their destructive ways. And here's the terrible part about it is, many are going to listen to them. And many's going to follow them. And we've got that today. We've just got that everywhere today. People are following false teachings. Not Bible teachings, but false teachings. And that's a great shame, because multitudes are being led astray, you see, because of this. And he said, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Spent just a little bit of time on the fact that because of all these false doctrines, all these things are happening, it's a terrible, terrible thing that the way of truth is being evil spoken of. You know, I read one time a man said this. He said about Hollywood. Hollywood, he said, Christianity is the only thing that that Hollywood can talk about without repercussions upon them, like the media getting on them. Media will get all over everybody if you talk about the races and come down upon the races. We have a man right now, he's a baseball player, right or wrong, whether he done, but he made some comments about racial comments. He now is in the minor leagues. Did you see? I don't know if you've seen that or not, but he's been demoted to the minor leagues. See, because basically they're saying it's because of his play, but he was up there doing it before, but now he's down in the minor leagues. But you can say anything you want to. Hollywood can say anything they want to about Christianity and get by with it. And people today on TV can say anything they want to about Christianity, and it makes no difference, you see. Well, that's what he was talking about here. He says, whom the way of truth shall be ill spoken of. And he says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. In other words, their whole purpose is a covetous purpose. They want to make money, and they use feigned words. And again, the word feigned there speaks of false and fictitious words. And it says that they make merchandise. In other words, people become just a piece of property, a piece of merchandise. Doesn't make any difference how they destroy you. Doesn't make any difference what they say about you. Doesn't make any difference about those things. You are just a piece of merchandise to them, as long as they can make money out of it, you see. And he says, whose judgment now the long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, their damnation is coming. Their judgment is coming. And what God does now is he takes three examples and begins to show three examples where judgment is already felt. In other words, some think that this judgment is not going to fall upon them. If you talk to the normal person out there, I shouldn't call them normal, but the person out there today doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe about the things of God, they don't think judgment is coming. They do not believe that. But judgment is coming. And God gave three examples here where judgment has already fell. He talked about the angels, talked about in Noah's day, and he talked about in Lot's day how judgment fell. The flood come, and in Noah's day, fire and brimstone come. He said, you know what? In other words, if it fell then, judgment came then, it's going to come now. And we've just got to remember that the day is coming. I know it looks bad. I know it looks terrible in the day that we live, but judgment is coming. God has promised that, and he gives the examples here of the fact that he's already done it in different times in history, and he's going to do it also in our time. What I want to do is take us and go over to the book of Jude just for a few moments. In the book of Jude, the book of Jude is much like the book of 2 Peter, dealing with much the same things as 2 Peter deals with. And if you'll, I'm just going to read a few verses out of there in Jude. In verse 1, he says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, he felt compelled. He thought he was going to write to these folk about common salvation. That's a good subject. And it would have been just fine for him to write about the common salvation. That would have been a wonderful thing. But he felt impressed by God, instead of to write about the common salvation, to write to them concerning contending for the faith. In other words, it's time, he was saying to them here that he was writing to, it's time to contend. It's time to stand up for the faith. And I believe that same time is here. I believe it's time for us to contend for the faith. We quit being so lazy about it and lackadaisy about it, not worrying about what's going on. We need to contend for the faith. Amen. We need to stand up for the faith. And so he says then in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, if you notice over in 2 Peter, that's what he talked about, denying the Lord that bought them. And also here he says he's denying the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the same type of people. More likely may have been some of the same people, but it certainly was the same type of people here who would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, if you'll notice in this, he said certain men crept in. We find that in verse number 4. Certain men crept in. False teachers, like we're talking about in 2 Peter. False teachers, mockers, scoffers, People who scoff at the Word of God, deny the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He came, paid the cost of salvation, bought their salvation for them. You notice it says that while they deny, and He also, in verse 25, let me show you what we're supposed to do. They deny, but in verse 25 of chapter 1 of Luke, He says, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." This ends that book here with what we're supposed to do. We are to bring glory to God Almighty. And I cannot say that enough. I think you feel the same way I feel, but we need to constantly say this in public and do this in our lives. We must do everything we can to bring glory and honor to God Almighty. He's the one that deserves it. Not mankind, but Jesus Christ deserves all the honor and the glory. Amen. Well, in verse number 25, he said that's what's supposed to do. But over here in the earlier part of Jude, he said this is what they're doing. They're denying Him, denying God, denying the Father, denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you know that the charges really against these people was that they was religious, but they're ungodly. See, now you've got to grip a hold of this thing, because it's so easy to live in a society that looks like it's a religious society, but it's an ungodly society. We've just got to get a hold of the fact that that's what these people didn't understand either. See, they thought they was religious, they thought they was good, they thought there was all these things, but right in the middle of all of it, they was denying God, and they was denying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's happening today. We spent some time last week talking about the false prophets of the Old Testament and the false teachers of the New Testament. We've got to watch that. We've got to contend for the faith. Amen. And that doesn't mean just the preacher, that means you too. You've got to stand up and contend for the faith, you see, because there's so much of this foolishness going on. These men crept in, you see. Well, in other words, in verse 4, it tells us their nature. I wrote down beside verse 4, their whole nature was ungodly. Their whole nature was. Over in verse number 15, it says, and let me read that, it says, "To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have got ungodly committed, and of all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." He even talks about their deeds. Not only is their whole nature, but their deeds are ungodly. And not only their deeds, but their words are ungodly. Their works are ungodly. Their words are ungodly. Their speeches are ungodly, you see. And then again, in verse number 18, he says, "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust." I said to my, I wrote beside that even their minds are ungodly. It's these lusts of the mind that works through their minds, and they're just constantly lusting, you see. So their whole nature is ungodly, their works is ungodly, their mind is ungodly. That's the type of people that was living in that day who were denying the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And then he said that they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. In other words, that lasciviousness, the word means lustfulness. And what he's talking about again, let me say to you, we turn the grace of God into a social gospel instead of the gospel. Oh, there's much of the social gospel being preached today, folks. It's a social gospel, not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to do good to your neighbor and be a good fellow and do nice and all of those things. And you can do whatever you want to do, but just try to live right and try to do all right. And no, the gospel of Jesus Christ must be preached, you see. That's turning you into lasciviousness when you do that. You see, in other words, salvation by man's goodness instead of by the grace of God Almighty. In other words, that kind of gospel will let you live however you want to live. And no one says anything about it. But we're going to find out in just a few moments, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. And then, of course, in verse 4, it talked about denying the only Lord God. In other words, bringing Christ down to man's level. Here we are denying that He was God the Son of God. No, denying that He was just another man. See, that's what they want to preach today. That's what they want to say today. He was just another man. Good example, you see, for us. But no. He was God. God the Son. And we must never deny him, must never bring him off of that great height that he is. We must always recognize who Jesus Christ is. Amen. So anyway, let's go back then to the book of 2 Peter. And let's talk a little bit on verse number 5. I'll read verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. You remember we read that same thing, approximately that same thing over in the book of Jude. That's what he said. See, somewhere along the line, I'm not sure what angels it is. I don't sure how God divided the angels, because I remember in Revelation he says that he drew with his tail one third of the angels with him. I believe the angels, what we call demons today, are fallen angels. But there is a group of angels that God has already reserved for judgment. They're already reserved. They're already there in chains, what he calls chains of darkness. And they are reserved for judgment. There's going to come a day, more than likely, I believe the judgment of the angels will probably take place the same time the judgment of Satan takes place. I don't know for sure about the timing and all those things, but that seems logical to think about that probably during Satan's judgment, also his angels are going to be judged. But they are reserved right now in the lowest parts of hell, in a place where God has reserved for them, and they are reserved there, and they will face judgment. So God is saying, why does these people here, why does these teachers of today think they're going to get by with that? Do we think we're going to get by with going against the Word of God and teaching contrary to the Word of God? Oh, no, 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 he says. No, I didn't spare the angels. Didn't spare them. And he said, not only that, in verse 5, and spared not the old world. He says, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the flood, the world of the ungodly. He said, I didn't spare the people of Noah's day. Only eight of them were saved. And he says, what do people think that they're going to get by with denying the Lord Jesus Christ today and teaching falsely? I didn't not judge them. The whole world drowned them, except for eight. Now you think we're going to get by in our day with teaching against the principles of the Word of God, the truths of God's Word? We're not going to get by with that. No, no, no. So what he says is simply in verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah. You see, Noah saw the wickedness of his day. He understood that. He saw the wickedness of his day. We need to see the wickedness of our day. We need to recognize it. You see, we live in the midst of this thing, and we just kind of let it fall in around us, and we don't recognize what's going on. Wickedness is going on around us, you see. And Noah was sent by God. God called him out and sent him to preach righteousness to them. In other words, get right with God. Clean your eyes up. Quit the filthy living. Preaching righteousness. Do right. Get your hearts right with God. Well, let me say something to you. I believe that same message, that same ministry that Noah had is required in every generation. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that God raises faithful men up to be preachers of righteousness. To cry out and to preach that we must live right. I believe that's what Noah preached. We must get right with God. We must live right. We must do right, you see. And he lived in a horrible generation. A filthy, horrible generation, just as we do. And there needs to be preachers of righteousness that will stand up and preach. You see, the preaching of righteousness is absolutely necessary because the nature of man demands it. Man is wicked. Filthy, wicked, and it demands that a preacher come along, preachers of righteousness come along and preach righteousness. See, we must do that. You see, what God does is this. He presents his truth of the Word of God to folk. He presents it there, and then he lets them choose whether they want it or not. And if they don't want it, they suffer the consequences of it. You see, God does not force you or me to accept him or to live for him. But there is consequences if we don't accept him. There's consequences if we don't live for him. But he don't come down and force us to do that. Now, there's a great importance of the preaching of righteousness, I believe, in this day. The standard of righteousness must be upheld. We must uphold a standard. We must do that. You see, preachers, myself or any other preacher, cannot develop some kind of standard that they've come up with. We must preach the standard of God, the Word of God. We must preach that. That is what we must preach. See, we don't have any right to preach anything else. We cannot come up with some standards that we think, well, I don't think God meant that, or I don't think God meant this. No, we must preach, thus saith the Lord. It's what God said in His Word, and we must preach it. I don't know if you read it this week or heard about it this week, but there was a prosecutor in New Mexico who, well, first of all, let me tell you what happened. There was a woman who had been married to her ex-husband. She had divorced him, and she had gotten married again. And anyway, he was living with a woman. She sued him because in New Mexico, there is a law on the books in New Mexico that cohabitation is illegal. In other words, living together outside of marriage is illegal in Mexico. Now let me tell you what happened. They took it to court, and this prosecutor, which should have been on her side prosecuting, said, "Well, you know," and that law was put on the books in 1963. It wasn't one of those 1800 book. This was in 1963. It was put on the books, and he said, "Well," he said, "you know, that's a law that's outdated. It's not for this day. It's not for our time." This is the prosecutor who was supposed to be standing for the law. The law is on the books. But here's where you really get into it. The judge agreed with him and dismissed the case. The law was on the books. It's illegal. It's on the books. And they said, the prosecutor said, "Well, I don't think that's a law that should be on our times. That's past our time." And the judge agreed and dismissed the case. Now, wait a minute. That's exactly what people in America is doing to the Word of God. They say that's outdated. That shouldn't be on the books. That's not for our time. That's for old times. I don't know whether you remember or not, you probably don't. It's been about 8 years ago or so, but right after we came back here, I think it was in 92 that I preached it. Well, it would have been in 92, and after Mr. Clinton was elected president. And I preached a message, America has made her choice. And I preached that message. And she made a choice, a terrible choice, but she made it. And I preached that message, and Kelly Rambis took a tape of that and sent it to her sister out in California. And Kelly got a stinging letter back. Said, "I want you to tell that preacher something. Tell that preacher it's the 90s. He needs to get up into the 90s. She was mad because I preached that. Listen, folks, it was the 90s. It's the 2000s. But the Word of God hasn't changed. See, this is the problem that's going on today. People are saying, "Well, that's old time stuff. Yeah, that was all right back then." Wait a minute. God didn't change His Word. Amen. And the shame of it is, preachers are standing in agreement with it and saying, "No, that's for years past. Yeah, that was way back there. That's Old Testament. That's this, that's that. Oh, yeah, we don't go over that anymore." And preachers get up and preach it. Like the judge got up and okayed it. But my friend, the Word of God will always stand. And it's always true. And you cannot look at the time we live in and say, "We're living in a different time." The Word of God no longer applies. Hogwash. The Word of God does apply. And it's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, folks, be careful. Now, I'm saying this. Be careful, because if you don't be careful, we Christians want to do the same thing to the Word of God. And we don't pay much attention to it. We don't think about it. But we want to do the same thing. We want to say it's a different time. Folks, the Word of God has not changed. We go by the Word of God. We go by it, what it says. in all of our standards and all the things that we do. We're to go by the word of God. Amen. Amen. So that's what he's saying here to us today. You see, he talks about how that he had spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodliness. He said, that's what he did back then. That's what I'm going to do now. God's going to do the same to in the future that he did back there with old Noah and Lot and the angels. He's going to do the same thing. He's going to bring judgment, you see, upon the wicked. So what he's saying is he's a preacher of righteousness. Let me say to you folks that the violators of the law of God must be rebuked. They must be rebuked. You can say anything you want. You want to get, sometimes we get tired of tough preaching. We get tired of this and that. But there must be rebuke when the word of God is violated. There must be somebody standing up and rebuking. There must be, there has to be preachers of righteousness that stand up and rebuke those who are violating the word of God. You know, the Bible tells us that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now folks, I want to tell you something. That word was true then, it is true today. Now people are living together all over this country, and they think it's funny, they think it's all right, they go along with it, and people go along with it and just kind of smile at it anymore. It's against God's word, and God said he's going to judge adulterers. Is he going to?
Yes, sir.
He said marriage is honorable. The bed undefiled. That's when it's not defiled. When there's marriage. Whoremongers and adulterers, God's going to judge. Now, is that word still true?
Yes, sir.
Well, you better count it. So anyone tells you they're living together because of Social Security benefits. I don't care why they're living together. It's ungodly. It's wrong. Get married. And you know what we do? We just kind of wink at it ourselves. We don't say much about it. Preachers of righteousness just don't have anything to say about it. Oh, well, you know, they just look at it different and just go on. We think it's all... No, no, they're wicked. It's wickedness. It's wrong. According to God's word, it's wrong. Amen. So it's still wrong today. Amen. Sure it is. Let me say this. Faithful preachers, whether they be the Christians out here in this pew that go out and take the word of God and try to get people saved, try to talk to people about God, or whether it's people standing like myself behind a pulpit here, are going to meet resistance. And you're going to meet resistance, and you're going to meet the resistance like Noah met resistance in his day, and very few is going to listen to you. There was eight in Noah's day that listened. Now there's very few that's going to listen today. I'm not saying that to discourage you. We got to take the word of God. There is those 25 of them got saved this week. There is people who listen. There is a few that will listen even when they get a little older and get hard-hearted. There's a few that will listen. But let me say to you, the most will not. And you cannot let that stop you from being a preacher of righteousness. Because a preacher of righteousness is an unpopular fellow. Whether it be me or you, you're going to be unpopular if you stand against sin and say it's wrong. But you need to do it. Now you say, Brother Ross, is there any room for compassion? Oh, certainly. Certainly is. Did you know that Noah, even though he was a preacher of righteousness, I'm sure preached, come get on the ark. God wants to save you. Come get on the ark. It's here. It's the ark of safety. Come on. And preachers can never forget that there's an ark of safety in Jesus Christ. We can never forget that. We must never forget that. But we must not stop preaching against sin. We've got to preach against sin. At the same time, preach the wonderful compassion and love of Jesus Christ, who wants to forgive sinners. Wants to give them eternal life. You say these people out there, Brother Ross, is doing all these things. Can they be saved? Certainly they can be saved. And certainly do we want them saved? Certainly we want them saved. We'd love to see every single one of them saved. but you can't stop preaching righteousness. Because it's the preaching of righteousness that's going to bring them to understand they're sinners and they need to get saved. See? And then, of course, the methods of preaching, what is it? Folks, there's nothing better than a voice. How is people going to get the message if they don't hear a voice that is preaching it? I don't think Noah stood down there and built that ark and said, "You just look at me, I'm trying to be a good guy. I'm building an ark here." Oh, no, no, no. He preached righteousness. And there needs to be a voice that proclaims righteousness. And sometimes it can be the Brother Burr printed page. You see, it's no good just sitting around, and I've had so many people indicate this to me, "Well, I just try to live a good life. I hope they'll understand that the reason I'm living a good life is because I'm a Christian." How do you expect them to understand that? There's all kinds of people out there who are not Christian living good lives. They're living good lives. Now, folks, there has to be a voice that speaks. Is it the printed page? Is it our voice? Whatever it might be, but there has to be a voice that speaks, that says righteousness in the eyes of God is demanded. And yes, there's a wonderful Savior who wants to save you and give you eternal life. Yes, there's that wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, and He loves you. But there has to be a voice that gets that message out. Amen? It's not good enough just to live good. It's not good enough. You've got to speak up and say why you're living good. Why are you a changed person? What God has done for you, that voice has to go forth. It can go forth in printed page. It can go forth in the voice of your voice. But it must go forth. And a preacher of righteousness. Now, what is the results? The results is basically this. People get an opportunity to make a choice. They can either reject it and spend an eternity in a devil's hell, or they can accept it and spend an eternity in heaven. But at least they've heard the message, the preacher of righteousness, and they get an opportunity to choose. Amen? So Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And then look what it says at the end of verse 5. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You see, what happened was he preached righteousness. And in the end, only 8 people were saved. And it brought in the flood upon the unrighteous, the ungodly. Brought in the flood and drowned them all. But they heard because there was a preacher of righteousness. Preaching. That's what God is saying to you and I. There needs to be a preacher of righteousness. Preaching. Telling people the truth of the Word of God. And what's the danger of putting that off, salvation off? Danger is that destruction is coming. Eternal hell is coming. Amen? So we must be preachers of righteousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again today I thank You for the wonderful grace of God. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for raising up men like Noah. And Lord, thank You. Thank You for even the example You gave us of angels. We didn't get to it tonight, Lord, but thank You for the example even of Lot and what happened there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Father, I pray tonight the will of God be done. Lord, help us to be determined to be preachers of righteousness, to do right, and to let people know what the gospel plan is, Lord, for their salvation. And help us to be empowered by your Spirit, and Lord, that we'll carry forth Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.